Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you're going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following all 82 Bulls games this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls_Peck. You can follow my co-host Jordan Malley at Jordan C. Malley, and you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Shoot us an email, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, you can always find us on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. For all of your Bulls thoughts, questions, comments, inquiries. And here we are, Wednesday, February 5th. As I am recording this, we are just outside of the 24-hour mark of the NBA's trade deadline on Thursday afternoon. We did get a pretty big trade, a four-team trade, late last night, Tuesday night, that Adrian Wojnarowski broke for ESPN, involving Atlanta, Denver, Houston, and Minnesota. The biggest names among that trade, which was, fun fact, a trade that involved 12 players, the biggest NBA deal since the Knicks moved Patrick Ewing to Seattle in 2000. So the largest NBA trade as far as number of players involved in the last 20 years. Clint Capella, who we had heard, you know, a few days prior, the Rockets were actively shopping. He goes to Atlanta. The Rockets get Robert Covington, who was another big name swirling around over the past couple of weeks as we near that trade deadline, and a few other pieces moving around as well. The latest updates we've seen so far today is that there are a couple of teams out there, namely Minnesota and the New York Knicks, who are still in hot pursuit of Golden State Warriors guard D'Angelo Russell. And we've also, coincidentally, heard D'Angelo Russell's name attached to the Bulls in at least one or two rumors, while the Bulls are fending off those calling them interested in Zach LaVine services, according to multiple sources. Let's do some mailbag, shall we? This first one comes to us from Shinobi in Glenwood. Que pasa, mis amigos? I asked you guys before how you felt about a supposed Lakers trade after the LeBron-Kuzma incident. At this point, I say we should give up our first-round pick for either Brandon Ingram or Kuzma. We all know this is a quiet draft. Might as well gamble. You are right about this being a relatively weaker draft class than maybe some of the more recent ones. Obviously, the 17 and 18 draft class were both massive as far as their talent through the entirety of those lottery picks. The 2019 draft class, a little weaker, you know, some top-tier talent like Zion and Ja Morant and some secondary talent. This is another guard-heavy draft that we have on deck in 2020. With, you know, Kobe White already in tow, and the Bulls certainly looking to keep him as part of this core. Who knows where the Bulls might go, but they might be looking for, oh, I don't know, a wing that this team so desperately needs. So, you know, that's for months down the road. But if you're saying, you know, we might as well gamble to make a trade because it's a quiet draft class, thus don't feel bad about giving up your first-round pick in a trade to net a player like Kuzma or Ingram, I don't necessarily know if I agree with you there. Because as much as it hurts to admit it, the Bulls' rebuild has still not even come close to getting off the ground. Some of that has to do with injuries to key players, yes. Some of it, lots of it, have to do with the fact that this management group tabbed the completely wrong answer as to who the proper guy was to coach this team. But I don't think the Bulls are in position to give up draft capital, especially a first-round pick, especially in a year like this when it looks like the Bulls are lottery-bound again. And, you know, insert joke here about the Bulls picking seventh again for the fourth straight season. But I don't think that as a young team that's still trying to build that you can be in position to sacrifice a first-round pick. Now, let me say this. I think it depends on what you would be getting back by giving up a first-round pick. There is some noise that the Knicks are interested in Kuzma. Shams had that yesterday. So we'll see if those talks are actually going anywhere. He said that they are, quote, exploratory talks or exploratory conversations as of yesterday. Maybe the Lakers still are hot to move Kuzma because there's some kind of friction there between him and LeBron. I don't personally think that Kuzma would be worth it. I don't think he's that strong of a player. Brandon Ingram, on the other hand, has really impressed this season. I thought he was kind of underwhelming through the first stages of his career. And like many players, as we've seen, and you know, D'Angelo Russell is another one, also who happened to be in LA before getting moved elsewhere. Sometimes you need a fresh start to really blossom. You need to be in the right scenario. You need to be given the right opportunity to really showcase the talent that you have and grow the talent that you have. To me, Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma are not in the same category when you look at what Brandon Ingram has become this season. He is a legit all-star caliber player. To that end, while the Lakers are hot to move Kuzma or certainly appear to be shopping Kuzma aggressively, I don't see the Pelicans as a team that is desperate to move Brandon Ingram. You know, they've had kind of an up and down season, a rocky back and forth. The other big name that people are talking about now is, you know, maybe them trying to move Drew Holiday because he would be a very coveted piece for a lot of playoff bound teams, and he doesn't really fit the timeline of all of the other young talents the Pelicans have assembled. But if you look at what Brandon Ingram has done this season and you think about the potential of pairing him with a healthy Zion Williamson, and I know, you know, we've just now scratched the surface of Zion making his regular season debut his rookie year, but clearly that has the potential to be a dynamic duo of stars. And as star-packed as the Western Conference is, I think the Pelicans would be foolish to trade away Brandon Ingram at this point. And I think that they would not even consider trading away Brandon Ingram unless they were getting another star back that they thought fit better. But, I mean, from the Bulls' perspective, I would love pairing Brandon Ingram with, say, Zach LaVine. I think that would be a lot of fun to watch. I think that team could go places, certainly at least be more relevant and interesting and fun to watch than the Bulls that we are forced to watch this season. But I don't think the Pelicans, knowing what Brandon Ingram has developed into this season, are anywhere close to considering moving him. And Kuzma, to me, is just not the same caliber of player. We'll see if he does get moved, what the Lakers get back for him. Probably, a similar player, a first-round pick would be involved. But to me, it's, you know, he doesn't move the needle that much. I'd rather the Bulls, who are lottery-bound, keep their first-round pick and see what comes of that and try to make some other moves. So, interesting inquiry. And we'll see where Kuzma ends up if he does get shipped between now and tomorrow afternoon. But I think the Brandon Ingram thing is wishful thinking. Before we get to our next piece of mailbag, a word from our friends at Arizona Tourism. This spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Guess what, Chicagoans? We got some more snow on deck later today. Arizona Cactus League spring training has amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. It's the perfect home for baseball fans. Follow your favorite team and check them out in one of 10 different stadiums from 15 Major League Baseball teams in 75-degree temperatures. All 10 of those stadiums in the greater Phoenix area within 50 miles of one another. Meet the players, get your favorite players' autographs before the games. And that's not all. Check out the amazing restaurants and bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Enjoy live music from local and national artists. Explore museums featuring everything from native heritage to modern art to musical instruments from around the world. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see, from water parks to wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. This next one comes to us from the 312. Hey guys, checking in with another question. Do you think it's weird that this has been the quietest the organization has been in a while? I know they don't speak much, but to me this is kind of bizarre. What are we doing? If the goal is still the playoffs, I think we would be more aggressive in this trade market, but we're not. So that leads me to think it's about development. But it's confusing because if so, Coby White would have been starting, right? And he's not. I'm just trying to figure out what the hell is going on. Can you guys give me an answer? Thanks for checking in. You're not the only one confused. But I would say that at this point, and especially I think we will get a firm answer in 24 hours or so when the trade deadline passes, the Bulls are shifting the goalposts for this season. They already have. You know, a month or so in, a little over a month or so, when, you know, the Bulls got off to a wretched start through the what was supposed to be the easy part of their schedule, Boylan said, you know, I stated that the playoffs were the goal, and that's still our goal, and we're going to keep working towards that. Well, fast forward to today, and, I mean, it's unrealistic. I know that because the East is so bad that there are teams, you know, duking out for the 7th and 8th seed that are not all that far ahead of where the Bulls are. But I don't think it's useful for the Bulls to right now, currently the 9th seed in the East at 19-33 and 4 games back of Orlando in the 8th seed at 22-28, to still think about this season as being one where playoffs are the goal heading into and coming out of the All-Star break. Because you're dropping bodies left and right. We don't know if we're ever going to see Otto back on the floor this season. You got Wendell down, nursing a badly sprained ankle. I assume they will be overly cautious with him to see if and when he even returns this season. You've got Lowry with this pelvis injury. You know that they're going to be cautious with him as well. And now Chris Dunn is out too. So all those guys are going to be out for a considerable longer amount of time if any of them come back at any point this season. Couple that with the Bulls' schedule in February, March, and April to finish the season. Most of their games are against playoff-bound teams, and a lot of it includes pretty trying road trips. Especially their longest West Coast road trip of the season that comes in the final, like the second to last week of the season. So, knowing that Jim Boylan is too stubborn to change anything and has told us as much, I don't think, with the failing schemes that he's installed and the fewer bodies he has to run them and the wrong personnel he has to run them and their schedule, that even though they're still quote-unquote in the hunt 4 games back at the 8th seed, that they'd be doing themselves any favors to think that that is a realistic possibility. In my eyes, it is not. So, as our texter said, then yes, it should be about development. And to your specific question about then why isn't Coby White starting, you know, I've, you know, talked about this a lot on this podcast and also on Bulls Outsiders, because I know a lot of Bulls fans have been clamoring for Coby to get that starting spot all season, whether it be because Satoransky had been underwhelming or, you know, taking Chris Dunn out of that starting lineup to try and, especially, you know, when Lowry went down, Wendell went down, giving Zach some other offensive weapon to play alongside of, somebody outside of Zach in the starting lineup who can actually create their own shot off the dribble, and Coby White certainly seems to fit that mold. But the fact is, he has been remarkably inconsistent this season. Look at his field goal percentage. Look at his numbers. I know that there have been these glimpses from Coby. And don't get me wrong, I really like Coby White and think he could be a very strong player in the NBA as he matures and develops his game. You love the way that he attacks the rim. When he's hot, he can be a great knockdown shooter, you know, running off of screens, or a catch-and-shoot shooter, or a guy who can even create his own, you know, step-back three opportunities. But it's still wildly inconsistent. I do think that they can make use of their remaining games this season, knowing that playoffs are no longer the goal and that development is, by installing new sets for Coby to run. And whether that be as a part of the starting unit or the reserve unit, see what he can do as an actual point guard, as a playmaker, a distributor, a guy who can not only get shots for himself, but find shots for his teammates. Because the Bulls keep searching and searching and searching for the point guard of the future. And, you know, the Derek injury happened, and then you had all these, you know, carousel of point guards. And then maybe you thought Satoransky could be that guy because he served that job well with Washington last season. He's been a little underwhelming. And Chris Dunn is certainly not that guy, not on the offensive end. So maybe it was Coby White. I still think he's more of a two guard than a point guard. But see, make use of the remaining games and give Coby more responsibilities. Give him some sets to run. Let him run, you know, especially if, say, Gafford can get himself healthy. You know, we saw him limping a little bit in their most recent game on Sunday afternoon. But if he at least can stay healthy, let Coby and Gafford develop some chemistry as the two rookies, you know, that are the youngest element to this rebuilding core right now. Run some pick and roll for him. Run some sets. Let him do more than just create his own shot. And to me, it's not about starting or coming off the bench. But I at this point, would not be opposed, especially considering how depleted the team is. And now with Chris Dunn out, you know, you're probably going to see more Thad Young minutes and more Hutch minutes at the wing. But, you know, I wouldn't be opposed at this point to giving Coby White a start and seeing what it looks like to play him and Zach together for a considerable stretch of minutes. But make use of the time. I think, you know, and that's what our texter is really getting at here. The Bulls need to admit defeat on playoffs and make the best use of their time and their remaining games available. And I think focusing on Coby's development would be one of the most important things to that. Of course, the caveat for all of this is, can you really feel good about development and getting these young guys to form new elements of their game when they're playing in Jim Boylan's system? That's the part to me that is still the scariest part, because is it really, even if you're changing your goal from playoffs to development, are you developing the right way if you're playing for Jim Boylan? Scary thought. Our next text comes to us from the 217. I can't believe I made the mistake of buying tickets to this joke of a franchise. The game I'm going to is at the end of February, and by then there won't even be five dudes healthy enough to play. If I were the Reinsdorfs, I would be downright embarrassed. Thanks for checking in, 217. I wanted to touch on this one because of your final comment about if you were the Reinsdorfs, you would be embarrassed. Because it makes me think of another piece of big NBA news that we got yesterday, Tuesday, right around noon Chicago time, that the New York Knicks parted ways with President Steve Mills. This probably had been a long time coming because of how much of a disaster the Knicks have been. It's kind of the one piece of comfort that Bulls fans have had for the last few years as this rebuild goes from bad to worse. The only solace that Bulls fans have these days is knowing that our organization that and the team that we root for is so poorly mismanaged and run like just such a Bush League organization that nobody across the league respects, despite being a giant market team with a rich history. There's always the Knicks, right? Like, that's been a running joke for Bulls fans for a while now. as both of these big market teams languish in irrelevancy, and the you know, losing season after losing season. And it's actually an interesting part of the conversation that our NBC Bulls insider Casey Johnson had with NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, which you should go check out parts one and two of that interview that's on NBCSportsChicago.com right now. Really good stuff. But, you know, talking about the big market teams being irrelevant and, you know, the fact that right now the NBA with all of its young stars and all of these interesting teams all over the place, and some of them in mid-market or what you might even call small market cities, it, you know, it's good. It creates, you know, new and interesting storylines for the league. So obviously the NBA would prefer for big market teams like the Knicks and the Bulls to be relevant and, you know, on their national broadcasts to draw in ratings and draw in revenue. But the league is so strong at this point that they can get by without it. But as far as these teams, these big market teams that are just wallowing in irrelevance, it's getting to a point where something had to break. The Knicks broke first. The Knicks, I'm sure you saw, it went viral on Twitter in one of their home games last week, and it was after, you know, like a skirmish broke out between some players. You know, just, you know, nothing quite as, you know, the Malice at the Palace level, but still, just an ugly moment towards the end of a game of a team enduring a very ugly season, and a chant of "sell the team" broke out at Madison Square Garden. And, you know, we've already heard other instances of James Dolan like banning people from Madison Square Garden because yelling within his earshot as he's, you know, making his exit out the tunnel, fans are caught, you know, yelling at him to sell the team. And I guess that, you know, that fight and that chant of "sell the team" was the breaking point for Dolan, who decided he had to do something. So he fired his president of basketball operations. And I thought this was an interesting tweet and an interesting thought from Frank Isola, who covers the Knicks. And here's what he had to say. If you don't think Knicks fans chanting "sell the team" had something to do with this being the firing of Steve Mills, then you haven't been paying attention. When the spotlight is on the owner in a negative way, he always reacts. Always. So I quote tweeted that and said, "Meanwhile, Bulls ownership has ignored a fan-funded billboard calling for the firings of those running the team, and there aren't even enough people at the United Center this season to start an audible chant. When will they react?" And it goes back to our texter's point about if I'm the Reinsdorfs, I would be so embarrassed by this season, by this incompetence, by the fact that across the league, your head coach is known as a clown who no one respects. And the latest example is that ridiculous timeout he took at the end of the Bulls' blowout loss to the Raptors, where the Raptors broadcasting crew is saying, "What the hell's wrong with this guy? What are you doing?" And it's Ryan Saunders, the head coach of the Timberwolves, recently looking at Boylan being like, "Dude, what are you doing?" And the stupid word vomit and the stupid phrases and the punch clock and all these things that make Jim Boylan, who as the head coach is one of the faces of this organization, a joke across the league. How are the Reinsdorfs not embarrassed by this? A team with your rich history that, despite the quality of basketball, has always filled your United Center. One of the biggest capacity NBA stadiums in the country, and you fill it night in and night out until this season when Bulls fans finally said enough. And it wasn't just putting up a billboard that said "Fire Gar Pax." It's actually Bulls fans responding by not showing up. A 20,000-seat capacity stadium, and the Bulls are announcing home attendances of like 12 and 13 and 14,000. And that's an announced attendance of tickets sold. Not bodies through the turnstiles, because just by looking at all the empty seats and people, fans and media alike, have taken all these pictures and shared these pictures on social media, you know, well into the first quarter of a Bulls home game, and the place is only half full. The Chicago freaking Bulls can't fill their stadium for home games. That had never been the case before. the Elton Brand Bulls, the Tyson and Eddie Bulls, the Baby Bulls, the young D. Rose Kirk Bulls, the D. Rose and Jimmy Bulls. Even the first couple years of this rebuild, building was full most nights. Not anymore. Between that and blowout losses and the fact that despite for the large stretch of the beginning of the season, you had, save Otto Porter, after who went down after nine games, a healthy roster. You had a healthy roster. And your coach was dragging them backwards. You're hosting All-Star Weekend. You have no All-Star. You would have a representative in the Rising Stars game were Wendell not hurt, but you had one nationally televised game. Nobody in the NBA cares about your franchise right now, and your franchise is the Chicago freaking Bulls. If I am Jerry or Michael Reinsdorf, I am embarrassed as hell, and I'm doing something about it. But we all know that this organization is loyal to a fault. So, you know, if you've been listening to this podcast a long time, you can recall back when it was a thing that was happening in the moment, Jordan and I talked a lot about that billboard. The fan-funded, I think it was, GoFundMe or Indiegogo or whatever. I can't remember what platform they used for the campaign, but Bulls fans, instead of spending their money on Bulls tickets and Bulls merch, spent their money on putting up a billboard that expressed their frustration towards ownership with the failing of the people who run this team, John Paxson and Gar Forman. And I joked to Jordan because Jordan said, yeah, I contributed to that. And I have, I don't fault any of you out there listening who did put your hard-earned money towards that billboard. I poked fun at Jordan because I was like, dude, it's a waste. You're sending a message, but it's a message that will largely be ignored. It's a waste of money, just like paying to watch a bad Bulls product is a waste of money. And I didn't contribute my money because I knew it would be a waste of money. Because the Reinsdorfs, they don't care. John was asked about it. He said, of course, I'm aware of that. And we're going to keep doing our jobs. We have confidence in ourselves and the people that work in our building to get this right. And I understand fans are frustrated, but, we can't pay attention to that noise. We got to focus on the task at hand. But when you see a team like the Knicks, who are like the Bulls, a big market team, going through this disgusting stretch of incompetence and bad basketball and fans who are fed up, and you see them, you see James Dolan finally take action and fire somebody, you wonder when will the Bulls ownership pay attention? They didn't pay attention to a billboard. Maybe are they paying attention to a half-empty stadium for all their home games? Are they paying attention to the fact that their head coach is getting mocked by everybody else in this league? Are they paying attention to the fact that despite having an all-star caliber player in Zach LaVine on their roster, he wasn't good enough to be a starter, wasn't popular, from the global fan perspective to get a spot as a starter, and is not on a team that is respected to get votes as a reserve? And everything about the Bulls being a laughingstock of the league right now has, plays a factor in that. And Zach LaVine not getting that respect. Does that embarrass the Reinsdorfs? It should. It should. We have to wait and see what happens at the end of this season and if any of those reactions that we saw the Knicks make are finally made by the Reinsdorfs. All right, one more, and then we'll get out of here. This is from Matt in the Burbs. Hey, what's up? I also am Matt, and also used to be from the Burbs. Long-time listener, first-time caller, Debatables for life. Shout out to all you Debatables listeners out there. Appreciate you. Hey, when do you think Boylan's going to start quoting Groundhog Day? Thanks for the best podcast to get us through the scary thought that the Bulls might squeeze into that eighth seed. Thanks for checking in, Matt. I mean, it is that part of the year, right? Groundhog Day. I think we just learned that the groundhog said that we're going to have an early spring. Let's hope that that somehow coincides with brighter days ahead for the Bulls, although I wouldn't hold my breath and wait for it. As for the eighth seed, you know, I talked about that a little bit earlier. Four games out, but the completely injury-plagued roster and this schedule that the Bulls face coming out of the All-Star break, I think kills any shot they had of actually making that happen. That's why it was so frustrating to see them cough up all these winnable games in the soft part of their schedule, why it was so frustrating to see them lose all these games where they cough up fourth-quarter leads, because you knew that they had to have some of those wins in their pocket to try to put themselves a little bit ahead of the game, ahead of the curve, knowing that they had a daunting finishing stretch to their schedule. As for when Boylan's going to start quoting Groundhog Day, I don't know. You can never know with this dude. There was the most recent element of, you know, hashtag Jim Boylan says stuff was some of his comments about Zach LaVine being in the three-point contest and, you know, how he's been, like, giving Zach tips about which side of the basketball rack to stand on, which side to pick the ball up from, and talking about, like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I was with the Spurs when Marco Bellinelli, shout out, former Bull Marco Bellinelli, won it, and, you know, so I was kind of a part of that process to help him prepare for it. I mean, like, Bulls fans are sitting here rolling our eyes. Like, really? Jim Boylan going to try and take credit for Marco Bellinelli winning the three-point contest? Is he about to try to take credit, partial credit, for Zach LaVine winning the three-point contest, which I hope he does? No. Dude, fuck off. Fuck all the way off, Jim. Your best player, Zach LaVine, can't stand you. He was caught on camera, you know, sitting at the end of the bench, just overcome with frustration at the end of another Bulls blowout loss. On a night when he actually tried to be a distributor first and was not just like, you know, screw it, I'm going to go out there and try and score 30 or 40 or 50. And he finished by, you know, breaking his streak of 20-plus point consecutive games. And then it was a night he had 18-7-7. But that was the timeout that had the Raptors broadcasters clowning Jim Boylan. And you saw Zach LaVine sitting at the end of the bench. When he hears timeout Bulls from the PA, he says, why? That's all you need to know about how Zach LaVine feels about his head coach right now. All that, you know, lovey-dovey goodwill stuff that we heard coming into training camp and media day, we're all on the same page. There's, you know, there's respect in all directions, and, you know, we're ready to get this done and move past the ugly, you know, near player mutiny last season. I told y'all then, don't believe that for a second. It's lip service and nothing more. There's going to be a point this season, probably earlier than later, where Zach gets fed up with Jim Boylan and the joke that he is. And that happened early. Zach's been a champ, and he's been, you know, doing his best to hang in there and put on a brave face. And he's been saying all the right things all season long, but he's reached his breaking point. I think internally he reached his breaking point a while ago. I think we all did with Jim Boylan when we had to listen to the same bullshit five sentences over and over in every postgame press conference when his team got outworked, outclassed, out everything in the second half because Boylan doesn't know how to make any in-game adjustments. And he, you know, puts it on, well, you know, we battled, or, you know, we had a tough third quarter. Well, why did you have a tough third quarter, Jim? And Field of Dreams. You ever seen that movie, Joe? If you build it, they will come. Bulls fans, I feel, are getting damn close to building an effigy of one particular individual that we're all very sick of at this point. Dark times. That's why we all got to stick together. Appreciate everybody pitching in on that text and voicemail line. We'll try and get to some more content as we move through the week and into early next week. Bulls have a pretty soft part of their schedule now. You know, just three games separate them between now and All-Star break. We'll have plenty of days off with fewer games to talk about, so hopefully we'll get to as much mailbag content as we can during these Bulls off days. So keep them coming. 331-979-1369. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thanks for listening. In the meantime, follow me on Twitter, Bulls_Peck. He's at Jordan C. Malley. We are at Locked On Bulls. 24 hours between us and the NBA trade deadline. What will the Bulls do, if anything? We will be here to break it down with you. Have a great Wednesday night. Have a great Thursday morning. We'll talk to you soon. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com